ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have completed the explanation of the Panchagni Vidya. It is one of the most marvelous upasanas. And what happens? What is the result? What is the benefit? The contemplator of this Panchagni Vidya would get at the end with that. That is the 10th mantra in the 10th section of this Chandogya Upanishad, which deals with this Panchagni Vidya, comes to an end. In our last class, we have discussed that point. Athaha yaha etan evam pancha agnin veda na saha taihi api acharan papmana lipyate shuddhaha putaha पुण्यलोकः भवति यः एवं वेद यः एवं वेद। ऐ मेन्शन्ड् अर्लियर् दट् वेन् सर्टेन् वर्ड्स् आर् रिपीटेड् वी हेव् टु अण्डर्स्टाण्ड् ऐदर् दट् सेक्शन् आर् दट् चाप्टर् आर् दट् बुक् ईस् कमिङ्ग् टु एन् एण्ड्। सो हियर् यः एवं वेद यः एवं वेद इस् पञ्चाग्निविद्या ईस् कमिङ्ग् टु एन् एण्ड्। वाट् हेपन्स्? वट् इस् द रिसल्ट् of a contemplator of this Panchagni Vidya? He who knows and worships, here worship means not external rituals, but contemplation. And contemplation has to do something with meditation, not much to do with the external rituals. External rituals are called karmas. Now this word karma in general gives the meaning actions. Any action is a karma. But when the Upanishads are specifically using this word karma, it means the actions, the rituals prescribed by the first part of the Veda, which is called karma kanda. But that will give one type of result. And we have seen those who go to the not very high lokas, worlds, but much lower worlds. Nevertheless, higher worlds, but not very high. They are the people, for example, Svarga Kamo Agnihotraha Agnihotram Juhuyat. One who is desirous of heaven, he should perform this Agnihotra. But if the same person only does rituals, he will go to higher place of experience of happiness. As I said, it is not a geographical location, It is purely a mental state. But if someone combines these very rituals, and the rituals will become only a starting point. But the moment he performs these rituals as prescribed with concentrated mind, then he enters into the very spirit of those rituals, closes his eyes as it were, and then becomes one with the deity or deities of those Agnis. So such a person, what happens to him? His mind becomes pure, etc. But just to be able to understand this, earlier mantra clearly said that to those who steal gold and who dishonors Guru's bed, etc., four types of papas, four types of people, those who drink liquor and those who do evil deeds. They are the most heinous sins. But another person is included, and anybody who associates with these kind of people intimately, sooner or later, then he will also fall down. Very surprising thing. All these things are very well mentioned by both Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother. I'll give you two of their teachings. Sri Ramakrishna used to warn one householder devotee, Sadhu, Savadhan, be careful, do not mix with such and such a woman very intimately. He perhaps did not understand it, but others were surprised. Sri Ramakrishna used to praise this person to the skies, such a high one person. And yet, he was warning that person. Why? Because you are thinking that it is all a pure relationship, especially between two sexes, male and female. At first, the relationship may be a purer, but you know, basic instincts are very much hidden in a human personality. So, by associating dhyayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha, very, very quickly mahamaya envelops. Therefore, Sri Ramakrishna had warned, and Holy Mother also used to warn people not to associate with worldly type of persons. She made a great psychological remark. Supposing such a person, good person, so happens to keep the company of such evil people. And Holy Mother points out what should have been a most obvious fact, but which is not. Supposing you associate this person, what happens? The memories of that person will arise. As soon as the memories of that person arise in our minds, immediately certain thoughts that are expressed by this person, such deeds this person utters, even some of the jokes this person utters, etc., he will remember. And an evil person, because his consciousness is firmly embedded in that state, he cannot talk higher things. And even if a higher thought is, subject is brought up, very soon he will bring everybody down to his own level. A person, for example, who is a foodie, even if Bhagavan's prasadam is mentioned, very soon, you know, that temple, it gives very tasty prasada. Whereas this wretched temple, they are cheating people, not giving good prasadam, etc., etc. Everything is pulled down to one's own state of consciousness. And that is why Swami Yatishwanji Maharaj used to warn people, so find out your center of consciousness. That means whatever object you think most often, that is your center of consciousness. You are conscious about that object too much. Like Ramakrishna says, when the tortoise leaves its eggs on the bank, sea bank, ocean bank, and goes into the tank or river or whatever, but its mind is there on that. So similarly, our minds, they can become very deceptive. Most of us are experts in deceiving our own selves. So, Holy Mother says, when you remember the deeds of such persons, slowly this person's mind also becomes contaminated. So, that is why five types of evil people, four types of evil people who are already doing evil deeds, but the fifth one who has not started doing but associating with such people, and sooner or later, but actually sooner, that person will ultimately go through, he becomes like them only. And that is why peculiar incidents are there. At once, Holy Mother gave a small type of story. A butcher was dragging a cow to the butcher's place. And then he became tired and he begged food. And somebody out of compassion gave food. And then the sin of killing that cow, a bit of it, had clung even to this person who had given food to this butcher. Because this person helped the other person. That is why it is said, evil can be done by oneself, or it is approved, encouraged by other people indirectly, or even bearing silent witness to that. All these are equally guilty of that crime. So that these are the five types of people we remember. And in that context, he who is sincerely absorbed in contemplating on this Panchagni Vidya, what happens? Saha taihi api acharan. Even if he is associating himself with these four types of people or even five types of people, papmana na lipyate. He is not going to be contaminated. Nothing will cling to him. Why? Because the very performance of this Panchagni Vidya. Vidya means knowledge. And here Vidya means spiritual knowledge. I will come to that very soon. A person who is sincerely doing this one, Shuddhaha, he becomes pure in his heart. Putaha, he will be destroying all the evil samskaras. Only spiritual samskaras, good samskaras, pure samskaras will remain. Punyalokaha bhavati, as if he had attained to that highest loka even while he was being here. And if you recollect the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is going to come, we have not yet come to that while describing Anandamimamsa. So, if a king is there, he is a wonderful person, etc., etc., and the happiness of which he is the master is one unit. But if we by any pure deeds, rituals, he goes to what is called, he becomes, attains higher loka, above the earthly loka, his happiness will be hundredfold. Like that, nearly, I think, 10 times the calculation is there. Now, the point here is, at the end of every description, says, akamahataha, shrotriyaha, shrotriyasya cha, akamahataha. So, one who is a real shrotriya, who had faith in the scriptures. How do we know a person has faith in the scriptures? Faith cannot allow the intellect to remain dry. The very faith sits on our head and makes a person follow what we believe. This is a great psychological fact. If you believe that this poison is nectar, you will not hesitate to drink it. But if you believe on the contrary, this nectar is poison, even God comes and cannot induce you to even touch it, even to look at it. And that is how what we really believe, that dictates our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. Ramakrishna purely believed in God. So, his thoughts are on God, his talks are on God, his deeds are on God, 24 hours a day without a break. Whereas, we might take initiation, we might do hours of spiritual practice according to the direction of the Guruji. But what happens? Our mind really doesn't have that much of faith. That means more faith on this world. So we become frightened. Maybe I will die, or maybe I lose my beloved family members, or I lose my property, bank balance, job, everything. If these things are affecting, then definitely this person proves that his faith is not strong. Just like a person who is witnessing a drama, if he thinks it is real, then his emotions will be uncontrollable. But he knows this is just a drama. He will thoroughly be enjoying all the miseries, especially the miseries that are being acted upon in the drama. So this person, gradually, he becomes pure, and his samskaras, which are obstructions, what is called three tapa, adhyatmika, adhivautika, and adhidaivika, they become slowly purified, and on this very earth, punya loka, that was what we were discussing, not only a real kshatriya, he becomes akamahata. How can a person become akamahata? Kamahata means one who is afflicted with unfulfilled desires. A person with fulfilled desires will not be afflicted until the desire arises again. Only a person with unfulfilled desires, he will be afflicted with terrible sorrow. The stronger the desire and the greater the suffering until he attains it. So, this person, why is he not afflicted by all these things? Because he says, akamahataha. When does a person become free from the effects of sin? Why does a person commit sin? In the hope of getting some happiness. But that getting happiness can be through the right path, wrong path. But there are people who get this happiness, want to try to get, to obtain that happiness through the wrong path. And that karma phala, a person has to experience. But temporarily, he will also experience it. And the more he experiences, the greater will be the suffering, because when he falls from that state, then he will have to suffer very greatly. But what happens? He is getting some happiness. So who can become free from all desires? The purpose of any desire is to obtain happiness. And if for a person to become free from desires, he must be getting more joy, or at least equivalent joy to what he is getting through the fulfillment of desires. So how is this person getting? The scripture gives beautiful examples. In Sushupti, deep sleep, we are not coming into contact with any object of enjoyment or object of suffering. And that is why it is a pure bliss. Bliss means uncontaminated by happiness and unhappiness. Because both happiness and unhappiness, they come and they change all the time. Nobody can be happy for more than a moment. But the person in Sushupti is so very happy. How is he so very happy? Because he doesn't have any desires. Then where from is he getting happiness? Because he realizes, I am that happiness. He becomes one with that his own nature, which is Sat, Chit and Ananda, or in the Taittiriya language, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. Anantam means unlimited bliss. Anantam, Anandam. So long as we are there, we don't fear anything. Fear and Ananda are opposite sides of the same thing. So here there is no fear, because there is no second. Therefore he is merged in his own self, which is of the nature of bliss. Until it breaks up, then again the rigmarole starts. But a person who has identified himself with God, it is the same thing. But knowingly, consciously, identify. There is a difference between deep sleep and samadhi. In deep sleep, it is natural, automatic, beyond our control. In samadhi, it is completely in our control. That is what the very definition of yoga, chitta vritti nirodha, complete mastery over one's own mind. So, akamahataha, a person who doesn't have any desire, not afflicted by desires, he experiences the same joy, and that refrain goes on till the very end. Even when a person attains Brahmaloka, Shrotriyasya cha akamahatasya, that bliss belongs not only to the person who performs rituals and reaches that state. This person who is completely free from desires, he will also experience it. We have to apply that situation here. So what happens? Whoever is knowing, knowing here is not intellectual knowledge, but actual performance. Knowing means to have complete faith, and once we have faith, as we discussed just now, he cannot but help doing it, performing it, and nobody can force him, stop him. So such a person, what happens? Let him move with most evil people. Swami Vivekananda made a marvelous statement that when I was visiting Sri Ramakrishna, that I used to avoid all evil places. But now I can sleep in the very houses of the public women. What does he mean? He means that they cannot affect him. They cannot influence him. They cannot produce even the slightest desire in him. The simple reason, when a person is experiencing infinite bliss, he would not care for a shadowy bliss. So, by the grace of Sri Ramakrishna, even Swami Advaitananda and other disciples attained to that same state. And Holy Mother used to say, when I, second time, I was with Sri Ramakrishna at Kamarpukur, when I was 14 years old, as if a huge pot of bliss is continuously kept in my heart. I used to experience that bliss, and that bliss had never come to an end after that. So this person becomes Punyalokaha, means what? He starts experiencing bliss of any other being, including Brahmaji's happiness, bliss, even wherever he is living. That is the meaning of loka. And then with this, yaha evam veda, he was reached that state by the performance of this panchagni vidya, yaha evam veda. Anybody in future, until the end of creation, he will get, like scientific experiment, the same result. That is what, with this, it has come to an end. Now, five questions have been answered actually. In the very first teaching by this Pravahana Jaivali to Gautama Rishi, he said, our birth is not suddenly coming out from non-existence to existence, but it is a great process. The very path by which a Punyatma, a meritorious person, because of his merits, has gone up to Brahmaloka, same way he comes down. So first of all, he becomes what is called Somaraja, Ananda. And then he becomes cloud. He becomes rain. And he becomes food. That rain helps the earth make food. That food is eaten by a male being. And this Jivatma, in the form of that food, he enters into that person, becomes a specialized seed, not only in the male, but in the female also, and both of them, when they come together, when they unite, these two halves of this Jivatma become mixed up. Rather, it is not the Jivatma, but it is the body of the Jivatma. The other four koshas will remain the same. Samskaras, mind, will remain the same. Sukshma Sarira, Karana Sarira will remain the same. It is only the physical body. That is the outer meaning of the Panchagni Vidya. Inner meaning of the Panchagni Vidya is that first of all, there is nothing called death. Secondly, until we obtain knowledge, we are ignorant. And ignorance creates a feeling that I am not Brahman. If I am not Brahman, who am I? I am this Panchakosha. And this fifth kosha comes and goes, but the other koshas remain. They become free, or they fall down. They are destroyed. They are burnt out. Only when a person knows Aham Brahmasmi, that is called Atyantika Pralaya. That is, there is no more samsara for such a person. And anybody, everybody will attain to that state. Now, the essence of this Panchagni Vidya, we have seen that no world is completely filled up because continuous travel is there. Imagine two towns or two cities where some people are going from city A to city B, some people are again coming back from city B to city A. Nobody is remaining permanently there. And so, none of the worlds are completely filled up. And then, three paths have been described. Even though two have become famous, the path of the light and the path of the darkness. So, we have seen that there are four types of people, even though description in this Panchagni Vidya is given of three types of people. So let me say, there are first class is one type, second class is one type, third class is one type, and these three contain actually four. How? The first class people, they are divided into two categories. Those who do rituals as a result of these rituals, because they are worshipping gods. Every ritual is a worship to God. Every ritual, there is a beginning of the fire and it becomes bright and brilliant, and then with the name of gods, Indraya Swaha, Varunaya Swaha, Brihaspatiya Swaha, etc. So, through pure contemplation on the gods, gods means higher states of consciousness, so they attain whatever they have earned, identified themselves with. So, there are people who combine rituals along with contemplation, and their concentration is far superior, and their faith in scriptures is the best. So, such people attain to Brahmaloka. And then, there are whom, after enjoying in Brahmaloka, whatever desires they had, for most of the people, those desires will be exhausted and they will not return. They will, from there, attain to their real nature along with the Brahmaji. Perhaps he takes classes there, like our weekly classes, maybe daily classes, and don't wait for that, because you cannot bear even 1 hour of my talk here. There Brahmaji will be taking, each talk will be more than 1,000 years. So, I don't know how you are going to put up with it. And you cannot sleep because a terrible blow will come at any given time from every corner. But some people, they return. So, the people who along with Brahmaji, you are the purest of the creature called also Ishvara, along with him, most people, they attain Nirvikalpa Samadhi. That process is called Krama Mukti. Then there is some type of people, and they come down and they are reborn in wonderful families, spiritual families, which environment will be absolutely very helpful for them to slowly get rid of those desires. Maybe a few times they have to go up and come down, but then they will also attain through Krama Mukti. So, but there are some type of people on this earth itself, they destroyed all their desires, and such people, they said, oh, we have experience of these things, we don't want them, imputation of it anymore, so we will solely devote our life to pure spiritual progress, and by realizing that I am Brahman, they become free. This is about the first class, first people. Then the within that category, there is a lower category. They are more devoted to rituals than the contemplation. Such people, they also, as a result of their meritorious deeds, attain higher lokas, and then they come down. And the first class people, they go through the path of light, and the second type of people, they go through the path of the Pitruyana, where the happiness will be less, and the duration also of the happiness will also be less. But they have done some good jobs only, not too much. As a result, they will be born, and they will be given another chance to progress. Slowly, they will also become first class first, and then attain either Karma Mukti or Sadhya Mukti. These are the two classes. Then, if the Upanishad did not discuss, so in that first category, there is a third class. These people, they don't do any evil karma. They do not do much of good karma. You know, there are so many decent people in this world, and they don't want to give any trouble to any suffering to other people. Of course, they themselves don't want any suffering to themselves, but they will not do consciously, actively, any harm to other people. They are just ordinary people, and they think their vision of life is just live a good life, moral life, don't give trouble anybody. By morality, we will not trouble other people. But these people, they don't do much good. I forgot to tell you that in the first class, first people, the second category, they also do Ishta and Purtam. It is mentioned here, we have studied. That is, they become much more unselfish. So, very actively, they will be doing a lot of good to people. They believe that if we do Punyam, we are not losing anything, but God will keep an account of what we have done, and that result of Punyam, which is called Sukham, will come back to us by the dispensation of God. He knows where, when, and how much we have to experience of Sukham. So, Ishta Purta people, that is the second type of the first class first people. The first class, among the first class first, the third type is, they neither do good nor do evil. What happens to them? They will not go up, they will not go down. They will be born immediately, will be given as many chances as necessary, and slowly they will progress into the second type of the first class first. Then they move up further as first class first, and after a few experiences, either through Krama Mukti or Sadhya Mukti, they will also be liberated. So that third type is not actively mentioned here, but we have to understand they are ordinary people. So accordingly, they will get their result also. But what we call the third type of people, they are evil people. Actively, they don't do any good, but they do a lot of evil. Like earlier we have seen, they are drinkers of wine, stealers of gold, and dishonoring their elder people's beds. That means they immoral type of people. They don't care for gurus. Every elder person is a guru. Remember, the acharya we know is only the third person. First acharya is the mother. Second acharya is the father. Third acharya, when we happen to meet some outside the family, who is going to teach us? Most often, that is what happens. So, if this person does dishonor to the guru, doing any of the evil actions, or drink wine and lose all common sense, power of discrimination, they are likely to do it. But there is a fifth type of person who also is open to become like those evil people just by association. The power of association is marvelous. That is why The very first commandment of Sri Ramakrishna is, first cultivate holy company. So this is what we have seen. So what happens to these people? The what is called fourth type of people in our explanation, third type of people according to the Upanishad, Kapuya Charanaha, evil way of living. Then they will be born as stalks and stones. Yesterday narrated the story of Nahusha also. You better look up and read the in detail what happens, what questions he has put, what answers he has given, etc. So we have to come back to this. But they will be either insects, birds, animals, anything but human beings, or they might attain the lowest of the human life, Chandala Yoni. So they may be reborn into the wombs of a female dog or a female hog or pig or a chandala, but not only those three, any number of any, depending upon the varieties. But nobody will remain there, they will be given any number of choices. God in His infinite grace will give infinite choices. So they will come up, slowly they will become the third type, neither good nor bad, then actively good to some extent, then extremely good, etc. So that is what we have discussed. So these people, how do they go to the higher states? Beautifully described, it is called Uttarayana, Dakshinayana. It is also called Shukla Gati, Krishna Gati. It is also called Devayana, Pitruyana. So, the path of the light and the path of the darkness, etc. But everything means one thing only. These first two types of people, they go there. And the first class, first people, do most probably, most of them do not return. The second class of people definitely return. That's called Pitruyana. But the what is called evil type, the people who neither do good nor evil, and most of us are like that. Such people, as soon as they die, they are again born on this earth itself. But the evil people, they will have to experience the results of their evil, which is suffering. And suffering is a cleanser, purifier. Once they are purified, they will be given another choice. So, these two paths is very beautifully described in Bhagavad Gita also. 8th chapter we get. So with this, the Panchagni Vidya is over. Now I would like briefly to discuss what Swami Vivekananda has to say about these two paths. First of all, talking about these two paths, there is a book called Swamiji's Talks at the end of Jnana Yoga called Practical Vedanta. There are four chapters. In the second chapter, Swami Vivekananda mentions these things, that we hear of two paths. I do not much myself understand what these paths means. And then he goes on elaborating them purely in a spiritual light. This is what we will read now. Not in Swamiji's words always, but in our own words. Swami Vivekananda did not extensively discuss the specific terminology of Shuklayana or Krishnayana, the path of the light and the path of the dark, as distinct paths in his public lectures or writings. So these terms relate to the path of light and the path of the darkness, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. What are these verses? And then these two paths really signify ascending progress in knowledge and descending progress in ignorance, opposite. So the original verses go like this. Agner Jyoti Raha Shuklaha Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachanti Brahma Brahma Vido Jana. Fire, daytime, the bright half of the moon and the 6 months of the northward passage of the sun, taking this path, the knowers of Brahma go to Brahma. So Swamiji's interpretation, symbolism of light and darkness. Swamiji emphasized that Jnana is light and Ajnana is darkness. Very beautiful spiritual interpretation. The references to fire, light, daytime, bright half of the moon, so they are all slow ascent into jnanam and gradually approaching nearer and nearer to God or self-realization. That is the bright state that comes to the knowers of Brahman, and the knowers of Brahman are also called spiritual aspirants. But Swamiji linked the path of light to the state from which there is no return to the cycle of birth and death, which is the ultimate goal of liberation called moksha. And the downward look contemplation of the material world is the path of darkness, which leads to continued cycles of transmigration. So, what was Swamiji emphasizing? Emphasis on oneness. Swamiji stressed the core message of the Gita, which is to realize the oneness of the Supreme Lord dwelling in all beings, the imperishable. So, slowly we must have progressing towards that imperishable. Imperishable means changeless. Until we reach Brahman, even Brahma Loka is a temporary loka, maybe a long time compared to our ordinary earthly life, but in comparison with infinity, infinite time, what is even if 1000 yugas you live with Brahman and experience happiness, makes no difference. Swamiji believed that we are all destined for realization. So, repeatedly he said, each soul is potentially divine. So, he believed this realization can be achieved either through jnana, bhakti, karma yoga or raja yoga. So, Swamiji interpreted these shuklayana or the bright path of light, krishnayana, the dark path, as symbolic spiritual journeys described in the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. He viewed these paths not as literal physical journeys through space, but as psychological and spiritual states of the soul. Shuklayana represents the journey of the soul that has attained high spiritual knowledge. And according to the teachings of the Upanishads, Swamiji says, those who follow this path reach the higher spheres of Brahmaloka and eventually attain liberation, also called Kramamukti. Whereas Krishnayana, this is the way of those who have performed good deeds and social service, the second type of people in our classification, but have not yet realized the ultimate truth. Souls on this path enjoy the fruits of their actions in heavenly realms, but must eventually return to earth to continue their evolution. Swamiji emphasized that the ultimate goal is to transcend both paths. So, Swamiji taught that true realization, the realization of the Atman, liberates one from the need for any of the paths, from the need for going up and coming down. He says, for the perfected sage, whom he calls Jivan Mukta, there is no journey because the soul is already omnipresent, sarvagatam. So, these are, Swamiji says, all these lokas, higher lokas, lower lokas, are different levels of consciousness. So the upper seven lokas are more and more manifestation of the consciousness. And the lower seven lokas are slowly the consciousness becomes more and more covered up. Let me give you a small example. So first, imagine there is a long underground train railway tunnel and you are there in the light, and then it starts. As it goes deeper into the tunnel, the light becomes dim, dimmer, dimmest, and for some time one travels in that absolute dimmer light, and then slowly a speck of light starts coming, and then from darkness slowly the train, it gets more and more light until it comes into the full light. What is this analogy for? The first analogy, the train entering into the tunnel into darkness, is called involution, and again going into light is called evolution. So, if we take from the tantric viewpoint, Shukla Gati and Krishna Gati, Uttarayana and Dakshinayana, there is represent also. So, a person, so long as he is living in the lower three chakras, he will be entering deeper and deeper into this lower levels of consciousness. Sometimes he will come up, but what he comes up is only Ida and Pingala, or what we call very lowest type of consciousness, he will be traveling. But once he starts realizing that this is impossible, then he suddenly finds there is another pathway called Sushumna. And slowly he starts going up until he attains oneness with Paramatma in the Sahasrara. So the 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th are the upper lokas, higher lokas. And Sri Ramakrishna, when he first came to Varanasi, he saw it as a city of light. Then we see, what is that light? That is spiritual light. Every person has both these lights. Every place has both these lights. But it is more manifest in holy places, and the darkness is more manifest in evil places. That is why, even if you approach nearer a place where most evil people lived, their vibrations can affect us very badly. That is why satsanga is very necessary. So, this interpretation clears a lot of points. So, either a person goes down and at the beginning he will go down, or a person goes up and that is also slowly from the involution, he is slowly going back to his own abode, Manachalo, Nijaniketani. And then I came across Swami Turiyanandaji's beautiful explanation. Swami Turiyanandaji says, there is a mention of the Uttarayana in the Mahabharata. Bhishma was waiting for the Uttarayana. What does it mean? Swami Turiyanandaji explains, by this, no particular time is meant, because it is not that a evil person dies in Uttarayana, immediately he will go to Brahmaloka, and a great spiritual sadhaka dies in Dakshinayana, then he will attain many of our direct disciples, etc. He died only at this. In fact, Thakur Mahaswami, if you see the life of any saint, they have gone beyond time. So these paths is no particular time is meant, no particular state is meant. It only shows that Bhishma had the power to die whenever he chose. So, he had that control. Instead of dying now, I will wait for Uttarayana means what? I choose when to die. The scriptures do not mean by the word Uttarayana any time, the concept of time, no. It only means the Deva or deity identifying himself with that time. So, Krishna Gati means Krishna Deva. Shukla Gati means Shukla Deva. Krishna Deva brings one down, of course, in accordance with the karmas these people have done. Whereas Krishna, Shukla Deva, he bright gods, described in various ways with tremendous power of imagination in our Puranas, etc. So that also shows only God actually, or the result of our own spiritual efforts. I also mentioned earlier how Sri Ramakrishna came in a chariot and took away the soul of Balaram Basu. Devi had sent a chariot and took away the soul of Madhur Babu. Sri Ramakrishna said, I saw it crystal clearly. And then Ramakrishna came at the passing of Rashik, at the passing of Pratap Chandra Hajra, at the passing away of Kali Ghosh, Kalipad Ghosh, and so many other people. So, we have to understand, it is the deities, or it is in the form of our karma phala. That is very important. Otherwise, God can be attributed as having partiality. So, that is why he says, we can well understand this. It is like people coming forward to receive a distinguished visitor. I am reminded of an incident in this connection. Turiyananji is reminding a beautiful story, incident actually that happened. There was a person, we don't know who he was, we got news that his father was ill. Before he reached the place, the gentleman had expired. As soon as B stepped into the room, he saw a shining figure. He wrote to me that first he thought that perhaps it was his father waiting to meet him. But suddenly the idea flashed in his mind that it might be some angel come there to escort the departing soul. Turiyananji then remarks, B, of course, won't tell an untruth. He is not the man to do so. Then, just now I mentioned also, Ramakrishna Samadhur, and he himself took Balram Basu, and he also is taken Rasik, and also Hajra Mahashaya, Kalipada Ghosh. Even now he is doing it. I know a case, many cases, where Holy Mother had taken her beloved disciples when the last time came. So with this, our study of the Panchagni Vidya topic is over. What is the essence? That there are many ways to manifest our potential divinity. Upasanas are one such method. So either through bhakti, karma, or raja yoga, or jnana yoga, if we put forth effort, then by God's grace, we will also slowly progress, attain to higher states of happiness, higher states of knowledge, higher states of existence, and finally we become free. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.